And now we get another blessing. And this is from a delightful young lady also who's going to share her thoughts with us tonight. And again, I guarantee you, well, I think everybody here already knows her. If there anybody doesn't know Lori LaPearl, Lori LaPearl. Oh.
My one and only.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Hello. Take a deep breath. It's always an honor here when Millie always asks to share your thoughts with everybody, although it's a little nerve-wracking, I must say. Sometimes I feel like there's a pit in my stomach, but I know I'm with friends. So what I really want to share with you tonight is really interesting. On the way over here, I was going to talk about love, and because it's Valentine's Day, all types of love, obviously, but people emphasize on the romantic partner on Valentine's Day, and to me, it's just a friendly reminder that just to maybe give yourself a little extra love and to give love, you know, it's not just the partner, although it is great when you can share love with a partner, but so when people were yesterday saying Valentine's Day, bah humbug. I've heard quite a few things on Facebook. It just kind of made me giggle because I'm like, yeah, I get it, you know. But at the same time, it's like just a friendly reminder of, you know, your angel friends and God just trying to chum it in and saying, you know, it's a good reminder to love, you know, to share love, to tell people you love them just every day, not just Valentine's Day. But I think it's just a reminder. But what I really wanted to share with you guys tonight is how Millie always says, in your life, there's always how we are an example of love, but how other people in our lives come forth to be a good example for us. And I really want to dedicate this talk to my father because he really showed me what love was, not only in a partner, but in my family. And I might get a little emotional, so bear with me if I do, because it's been a while since I've actually really talked out loud, you know, mentioning a few things that were heartfelt through my childhood. But I'll take you back to my parents. My mom was 16 and my father was 7 years old than her. And it was more or less love at first sight at like a soda shop or like, you know, those old milkshake places. I don't know what they used to call them, but he saw her on a Sunday after church. And he said the moment he laid eyes on her, he knew that he was going to marry her. My mom had no clue yet. She was 16, and her parents were like, get away, because he was 7 years older. But, you know, us girls came along. There's four of us girls, and we're all L's. So my grandparents are Lena and Lionel, and then my parents met, and they're Louie and Louise. And then they had Lisa, Lori, Lynn, and Lorna. So we're all L's. Even the dog was named L after a while. They kind of let us out, but... through my family and stuff, my dad was the one who showed us what love was, like, and family. Because my mom was brought up Canadian French, just really strict. They didn't show affection. They didn't tell each other they loved each other. And my father, actually my mom being with my dad, after so many years, would start expressing herself and sharing love, and you could see it, like she'd actually be more affectionate, but she would actually tell people, I love you, you mean a lot to me. And through our childhood, my mom was more the stern one, but my dad always say, you know, tell each other you love each other, don't go to bed mad, you know, just like the things you hear all the time. But my family really did those things. So my dad loved my mom. Was I didn't realize, you know, I'm 44 now, but I realized how powerful his love was for her. He would tell her every day how precious that she was and that he loved her unconditionally. Like, and not all times are good, but they stuck together through some really rough times and showed us girls that what love really was, you know, being loyal, being friends. Like, people forget that aspect when they have a partner, that you wouldn't do wrong to a friend, right? So why would you do wrong to a partner? So their friendship, their bond was really appreciation for each other. Like, they had gratitude for each other. Like, I'm grateful that you're in my life. You add to my life. There was a need there. There was a want to. I want to share, you know, I want to be part of your life. I want to grow old together. You know, my father used to carry on my mom and say, look, when something happens to me, I don't know how people believe this or not, and I don't know how I even believe in this, but how you create things happen in your life sometimes. My father knew he was going to die at a young age because his father died and he's 50. And my father always said to my mom, you know, I'm not going to live very long. And we were kids, used to say that all the time. And I think that that's one thing, you have to watch your thoughts. but he thought he would never live very long, and he didn't. But they were best friends until, you know, I mean, even now, my mom has a new boyfriend, and it's a different kind of love for her. It was very hard for my sisters and I when he first came along, because you don't look at your parents like one love in a lifetime. You don't look at them. Well, you know, I have the gift of having my parents the whole time when he was alive. They were in love and happy, and we had a family. But I know a lot of people come from broken families, and I am very grateful for that. I don't think they even really had a lot of friends that were divorced or separated. It was a good group of people that were married until death do us part, pretty much. But my mom's new boyfriend, when he came into her life, my sisters, especially me being in California and they're in Connecticut, my mom, instead of embracing my sisters, kind of rebelled against them because it reminded too much of my dad, and she couldn't handle it. So my sister's calling me up and saying, you know, Mom is acting funny. And I said, well, she's probably in fear, and it's just reminding her of a lot of things. So when I went home, I talked to her, and they kind of all came together again. But he had said to us, you know, I'm not trying to take the place of your father. I love your mom in a different way. And she also would share with us that too, because we're still adults, but we're still kids. I mean, you look at your parents still, like, if they're fooling around, it's like, ooh. You know, no matter what age you're at, it's just not right. So anyways, my mom, you know, still to this day, I think still has a hard time sometimes because she felt like she lost her best friend. So it was more than just the relationship part for my mom. But my dad was quite a character. I have a couple things I want to share with you so you'll know, like, the intensity of the love in my family. This is why I'm truly blessed. It was a lot of affection in my family. We told each other we loved each other all the time. My father, you know, with girls, we'd fight over, you know, certain clothes or whatever, curling iron, the blow dryer, or let girls fight about stupid stuff. But my dad would say, you know, you can have a difference of opinions and all that other stuff, but your sisters, you love each other, your blood. He used to always say that, your family. Family matters. He used to always say that. So I can't tell you the relationship I have with my sisters right now. We love each other so much. It's like we might have a difference of things in life, but we talk about it and we laugh and we cry and we play, and they're my friends. I mean, they're truly what I call... I would want everyone to have the bond like I have with my sisters. It's like unconditional love. And I know that a lot of people unfortunately don't come to have a relationship with their brothers and sisters like I have. So I'm very fortunate. But my dad was a character, like, as far as us as kids, you know, he gave us choices a lot. So I'll give you a couple different scenarios. You guys will laugh at this, but... Like when we did something we weren't supposed to do, like had a party and they came unexpected. We were literally throwing boys out of our house, like literally. And of course, you know, my mom wasn't the one we were afraid of. It was pretty much my dad. And it's not that we got abused as kids or anything. It's just that he had a really strong, powerful voice. And you knew when he meant business, pretty much. So... the times we got in trouble like that, or, you know, decided kids always want to skip school, like senior cut day. Well, you couldn't do senior cut day because you automatically got in trouble. But everybody did a different day, and I don't want to do a day, but I wanted my sister to do it alone. But for somehow, my sister got caught. I skipped the same day she did. She got caught, and I didn't. I do not know how that happened. But my father gave us choices all the time we got in trouble. He would say, okay. And this is, I'm grateful they did this because it taught my sisters a lot in life when we were older that you know, brother, you reprimand and saying you need to do this. We had choices to make, which let me tell you was difficult because he would say, okay, this dance is coming up that you've been talking about 4 months. You're going to go to the dance or you're grounded for 6 weeks. So I chose not go to the dance, right? My sister chose to go to the dance and get grounded for 6 weeks. Well, wouldn't you know it, which I could not wait for her to get home. I couldn't wait to hear, like, what boys were there and, you know, what happened? I felt like I missed out on so much. She was like, came in, she got a sad face. And I go, didn't you have fun? She's like, it was the worst dance ever. You know why? All I could think about was I'm grounded for 6 weeks. And I was like, what? No, what about the boys' dance? She goes, it was horrible. So my father laughed like he thought he was pretty funny, but clever, might I add. But he used to do things like that all the time. You know, he'd give us choices of we had to make our own punishment. You know what I mean? Like we could wash the car for 3 weeks or we could do this. You know, he always made stuff up all the time and we'd always be like, oh, I picked the wrong one. And we'd always be like, why don't you just tell – we'd get mad at him and say, just tell us what we're grounded for. You know, what kid does that? It's like, tell me what do you want me to do? And he would be like, nope, you're going to make choices for yourself. Well, the blessing is that I was brought up strict Catholic, and confirmation, first communion, catechism, all that fun stuff, which when I was younger, you know, now that I'm reading the Bible and I'm older, the stories are fascinating and awesome and just very intriguing. And when I was younger, it was because I was told I had to learn it. It was not something that I felt like I wanted to learn as a kid. So I want to thank Millie for that because when she talks with the Bible, to me it's a blessing because I'm learning all over again but in a different way. But my dad, something happened after me and my sister were making our first communion, I think, or confirmation, one or the other. But I don't know which one comes first. I don't remember. Maybe somebody here can say it. But he pulled us out of the church, and he's like, girls, sit down. We're not going to go to church anymore. And we're like, well, why? And he goes, this because I am not going to have my family believe in something I'm not really sure feels right for me anymore. And we were like, okay. And we were like, yes, no black tap shoes and white gloves on Sunday, because that's the way we had dress on Sunday for church. You know, like, Bert, you dress very nice for church, and my father would appreciate that. Yeah. So through the religion part of it, my dad was brought up, my grandmother, Lena LaPearl, was very, very, very strict Catholic, and my grandfather too, but my grandmother was very much, used to always send us different stuff with a Catholic symbol on it, this and that. I mean, I'm not sure how she would feel today about, you know, him not wanting to bring us girls in that religion, but that was just the way she was brought up. But when he sat us down, he said, look, someday you girls will figure out a time in your life where the belief feels right for you, and you can run it through yourself, which I would say God's self now. No, Millie says all the time. But he said, you'll run it through yourself to see if what feels right for you. And I want you to feel good about it. I want you to feel that love inside and feel like it's true. Like it's something you believe in. It's not something that you have to have somebody tell you believe in, but you feel it and you feel it in here and feel it in your soul. But he said, as a kid, you feel it in your heart to know what's right for you. So I am so grateful because of the thought process I am in now. It's opened my heart bigger. I feel like I really want to be a really good example. I want to do goodness in this world, and I really feel like he's just planted a seed with me and my sisters. And when I got introduced to this church by a friend, Cindy, most of you guys know from Tuesday class, you know, I wasn't really sold on the whole idea when I first came to the church. I was kind of like, well, this is interesting, because it was totally different than what I'm used to. Kimberly and I talked about that before too. It doesn't not say it's right or wrong. It's just different. You think, wow, okay. And so I came for a few years, and here and there, didn't really meet a lot of people, though. It was different for me this time around. The last 4 years or so, I could say I really have, I wanted to have that foundation of a family, a spiritual family. I felt like I really wanted to reach out to people that needed to be reached out. And if something ever did happen to me, I would have a family too, because my family's so far away. And, you know, when you're sick and you're in need and stuff, you need that. You need that support. You need that friend to call you up and say, hey, how are you doing today? Because you feel like everyone's in busy doing their schedule, doing their thing, right? So there's always a few people that always call you up, always check in, you know, always want to get together with you kind of thing. And I figured, you know, I really want to have that family here. So the last 4 years or so, you know, I've been coming to church and to fill my cup up. And I really think that it's totally changed my life. I feel like I can handle situations. Like, living spiritually to me is so fun and so easy. I was on the way here tonight, and I want to talk about love, and I'm thinking every song I heard was love. And I was like, okay. I like when they play like that, because the angel's pretty funny sometimes. They do play with you, and you're like, really? And you're like, yes, it's so fun. But, you know, I feel like this whole thought process has just made me be, like, so understanding and love people for where they're at, so I don't try to change them. And, you know, it's about loving yourself enough to know that you just, you know, love yourself more. You know what I mean? So if you run into a situation where it doesn't feel right for you, run it through your God self to feel, does this feel right to me? You know, is this for my higher good kind of thing? But with, you know, the classes too, with my attunement, has totally helped me with my job. Asking God to use me before I put my hands on anyone. Most of you know I'm a massage therapist and stuff. And it's kind of interesting, the stuff that's happened to me since I kind of really say a prayer to myself. And sometimes, like Jody and a few other people I work on, I'll be like, let's say a prayer together. And it's fun because we get to say one out loud. And then it's really fun because we get excited about it. We're like, yeah, bring it in. And then they're like, if you get a message from me, tell me, right? So when someone says that, sometimes I will get messages, but not all the time, because it just depends if someone asks me. But I found that when I'm actually asking to be used for a tool of love and light for, you know, the person that's there or whatever, I mean, I really feel like I really want to love this person. I want to give them everything I've got. You know, and all I can do is my best. I might not say that I am really good at what I do. Maybe I'm not the best massage therapist in the world, but I know I give them love, and I know that I can open my heart to healing, and I really want that to happen for that person. So sometimes, you know, other friends will say to me, because I always say this to people when I work on them, you know, if I am not what you're looking for, I want you to get what you're looking for. So who says that in business? Not really too many people, because you don't want to send them elsewhere. But I feel like I am letting the universe know where I'm at. I'm like letting them know that I really want to be there in the moment for this person and wherever area of need. Like when you sit on the healing stools here and you're asking God, the people that are doing the healing are asking to be used, but you're sitting on the stool and you want healing. And sometimes it's not the place that you think, somewhere else. But it happens. Whether or not you feel healing or not, you feel love. You know, you feel something on that stool. You know, even Brian, he came and I invited Brian, and he's come to church just a second time. If anybody hasn't get to know him, he's a great guy. You'll fall in love with him. But he said when he sat on that stool, I don't know what happened, but I felt love. I felt something. I mean, you might not know what it is, but so when I work on people and stuff, I always thank, you know, Heavenly Father and the angels for using me for a tool of love and light for the person. But I do tell them, if I'm not, the first time I work on them, if I'm not what you're looking for, I want you to get what you're looking for, because isn't that what it's all about? I mean, there's a lot of people that do body work that if they really knew me, they would like me and know that I'm cheering everybody on. I think there's a lot of bodies and everyone needs work, you know. And I think in anything you do, there's plenty of people. So I think we need to be cheering people on and letting them know that we love and support each other. There's no, because unconditional love is not jealousy, envy, or anything like that. And like Millie says, you're asking for it if you want something that somebody else has and it's not yours to ask. You know what I mean? So I think just being in a place, you know, thinking my thought process and stuff like this, and just being open-minded and loving, and just being there when I am working on people has really helped me figure out sometimes that I can be even more of a channel. Like, things have been happening to me, like, healing-wise that I never thought would happen. Seeing colors sometimes feeling stuff that I have no idea what I'm feeling, but I know something's not quite right or something. But it's been pretty amazing, and I'm real excited. I told Millie last couple weeks, I don't really know why I'm excited about my life. I feel like someone just called and said, you won something, and I have no idea what it is. But I'm not saying that something's coming in my life. I just feel very grateful that I have amazing friends. I have a family who I'm very close with. I have, you know, besides church friends, you know, I have other close friends I've been friends with for 20 years or 5 years. Doesn't make a difference. I have a dog I completely love, who I never forget, who loves me unconditionally. I always say that if I had a partner and if I came home and ran around the living room and woohoo, she's home, I'm like, all right, that's cool. That'd be the best kind of partner, huh? But I want to tell you guys a God story. While I was working on Jody last Saturday and talking about what I was going to talk about, because she was really excited and said, oh, what are you going to talk about? And I was like, love. And, you know, and I was going to talk about some other stuff, like self-love and loving other people. But I don't know. I didn't really prepare anything so much. I just wanted to talk from my heart. And I really felt like my father was coming in strong these last couple of days with me. And I really feel like I'm really proud to be his daughter. And I'm grateful, so grateful that he taught me so many amazing things. I am who I am, part of me today. Yeah, I did work on myself, and I'm still working on myself, but I really feel like, you know, I want to honor him by saying that I am who I am today because of him, you know. And little peanut over there, Viv, when I was giving Jody a massage last Saturday, I was telling Jody, I want to go up and pump everybody up with love. I just want to go in there and say, you can do it. Because I know if I can, you can too. And I want everyone to feel high. I want you to feel high about life because, you know, it's precious. You can wake up in the morning and say, today's going to be a great day, or it's not. You ever one of those mornings where you spill your coffee and then maybe nobody wears nylons anymore, but we'll just say run in the nylons. Or you go to get cereal and the milk goes everywhere and it's just a train of things that keep happening. Well, you can make a decision then to laugh about it and let it go, or you can create your whole day to be like that. So you can wake up any day and make it your day, but we should be grateful. There's so many things that we need to do while we're here. We need to look at life as precious, you know, not just bah humbug, you know. And if you are going through a really hard time in your life, you have all of us, everyone in this room, to reach out with, and we'll give you a helping hand. We might not be able to fix things in your life, but we can encourage you to be the best you can by pushing up the ladder and reminding you of the beautiful qualities that you have in yourself. So I'm going to say, before I invite Viv up, I want to say that I was going to do something tonight, but I couldn't find the perfect hearts to do it. So if you feel it in your heart that you want to do this, I thought it'd be a good example each day to remind yourself of what a beautiful, amazing, terrific person that you are. I was going to buy stuff that said all these adjectives on it. You're beautiful, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah. But I figured, you know what? Some things don't sit well with other people because you know yourself. So I would, if you want to try this exercise, to get a heart, whether it's construction paper or felt or whatever, and write on one side how people see you. If people said one word about you, what would they say? And then on the other side, right, look in the mirror and find something amazing about yourself that would remind you every day of who you are. And that's different for each person. But I think it would be a fun thing to do, and it would make your heart smile when you got in your car and saw it taped there to say, well, I am beautiful, or I am amazing, or I'm smart, or I am this and that. But just to remind yourself every day, because we're really hard on ourselves. Nobody's perfect. Who wants to be perfect? It's too hard to be perfect. But I think if you can look within yourself to know that we're all bubbles of God, like Millie always says, but we're all part of each other. We all are God's children, which is God is love. So we should be feeling like we are amazing, you know. So if you want to try it, I thought it'd be kind of fun, and you could put it on your dresser when you're getting ready in the morning, and just something to make your heart smile. But Viv, want to come up? So Vivian, when I was telling Jody what I was going to talk about, and I was saying I want to pump everybody up with love, and I want everyone to believe in themselves and feel really good about where they're going. Viv says, hey, can I read you guys my story? And we're like, okay. We were chatting stuff. And so I want Viv to share this with you because it's truly a God story, because she did not hear what we were doing. She's almost on a story. And here I am saying, I believe. I want people to believe. So I'm going to let Viv share her story with you.
This story is called The Ladybug Who Flew. Once upon a time, there was a ladybug that couldn't fly. He got up every day and walked to his flying boats, ran and took off. Ouch, he fell on the ground. He got up and shook it off. He walked back to his den and thought for a long time. He read about flying and went to his little computer and typed, I believe! He wrote that about 100 times. He will never give up. After he typed this, he walked to his bed and took a snooze. He dreamt that he flew 4 miles and woke up and screamed, I can do it! He then walked to his post, ran, and took off. Flying! He did it! He knew he could. And remember, always believe in yourself.
Isn't that great?
Thanks, Liv. Well, I just want to thank everybody, and I love you all, and that's it, I guess. Thank you, Ben.
She's the sweetest thing you ever saw in your life.
Oh, I hope that records and your family gets to hear it. That's what I hope.